Good morning.
The second scripture reading is from the New Testament on page 243 in your pew Bible. We start in Hebrews chapter 11 at verse 29 and go right through verse 12, chapter 12, ending at verse 2. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By the faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For some would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrections. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They were sent about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet, all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better so that they would not, without us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of the Lord.
We trust you've been enjoying the hot summer series. Today's topic is born out of provocative thought. One of our congregants shared in regards to the Apostles' Creed that we recite each Communion Sunday that isn't it interesting that there's this big gap in the creed? We say, I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, a gap of 33 years, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. Ever thought about this gap and why there's such a big gap in the Apostles' Creed? Why didn't they want to fill in all the information of what Jesus did between being born and suffering under Pontius Pilate? Is that an interesting gap? Let you mull on that. Perhaps it's up to our imaginations to fill the gap. What do we fill that gap with? When you're saying the creed and you jump from being born to suffering under Pontius Pilate, what do we fill that gap with? Hopefully, Jesus stories. And where do we find those Jesus stories? In those pew Bibles sitting in the racks in front of you, the four Gospels. That's why we talk about the God story, the different parts of the God story, and we spend a big chunk of the God story this past year spending time in the Jesus era. So the requester of this sermon topic sent that idea in and then also suggested that we consider filling the gap with Christ followers versus Christ himself. So in other words, who are other people who fill the gap in putting the life of Christ on display? And so therefore, you see the second part of today's sermon in the sermon title, In Search of a Cloud. We're going to fill the gap, and we're going to do that by seeking out a cloud or two. So today I'd like us to use Hebrews 11 and 12 to inform our lives and our imagination with people who might be in our cloud of witnesses. And perhaps you know and you affirm some of these Christian heroes being in your cloud of witnesses. I'm sometimes careful to use the word heroes because it sounds so spectacular. We need to remember that maybe these people were pretty ordinary, everyday God followers just like you and I. So we're going to hold Hebrews 11, 12 in one hand, and then, I forgot to bring the book, but we're going to hold Philip Yancey's book, Soul Survivor, in the other hand. I don't know if many of you are familiar with Philip Yancey. He's a Christian writer. He's a journalist. I would also call him a commentator on Christian culture. He's been doing that for about 20 or 30 years or so. But one of his most influential books for me was called Soul Survivor. And in this book, he writes of 13 people, many who you will know, who have helped him along in his Christian life. The subtitle of the book is How My Faith Survived the Church. And I don't know if you've had a Christian upbringing like Yancey did, but he grew up in this Southern Bible Belt church that was very fundamentalist, very racist. And so he really had to overcome that upbringing as he tried to continue his Christian journey into young adulthood, into wanting to be a writer and a journalist. Here's what he writes. He says, "The people in this book are select representatives of those I have learned from and am challenged by. They hail from Japan, Holland, Russia, India, England, as well as North America. Not all are Orthodox Christians, and one, Mahatma Gandhi, decided against the Christian faith. Yet all were permanently changed by their contact with Jesus. All were permanently changed by their contact with Jesus. And these people have become my personal cloud of witnesses." So we're going to talk about two clouds. The first one is this biblical cloud that we see in Hebrews 11, 12. This is a pretty famous section of Hebrews, right? Some call it the Hall of Faith, Hebrews 11. It begins with Abel and Enoch and Noah. In verse 8, we hear about Abraham. In verse 23, we read of the faith of Moses, and we heard a bit of the Moses story in our First Testament reading today. And then in verse 29, it gets more general. It moves from more of people of Israel to persons of Israel to the people of Israel. A little more general, we read in verse 33 what these people do by faith. They conquer kingdoms. They administer justice. They obtain promises. They shut the mouths of lions. They quench raging fires. They escape the edge of the sword. And you're thinking, well, wait a minute, maybe these are heroes. But then we read that phrase, they won strength out of weakness. And I hope that calms our hearts a bit, that it's not all about superpowers and shutting lions' mouths and quenching raging fires. But right in the midst of strength out of weakness, we read this same phrase of them being mighty in war and putting foreign armies to flight. And then we read of the suffering of the saints, tortured, mocked, flogged, stoned, sawn in two, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. Maybe some tough phrases to read when we're trying to be on summer vacation. True? You might not have that on your list of things to do this week. Sawn in two, unless you're doing renos in the kitchen or something. And then we read in verse 39, yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. A bit of a tricky verse in the midst of this hall of faith, but basically the writer of Hebrews is saying, these people of God lived and died by faith, and fell short of seeing the fullness of God's promises that would come. But we, who have experienced and seen the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we have experienced the something better. And so the writer of Hebrews is saying, yes, look back to this hall of faith, be encouraged, take heart, but stay focused on the present. Because these people of God lived this way of obedience pre-Jesus. How much more might we, in this post-Jesus, Jesus raised from the dead by the power of the Spirit, be able to live lives of obedience and strength and power? And so we read in verse 39 that the writer of Hebrews is saying this God story is a story of continuity. In the post-Jesus era, we, the people of God, and he's writing probably in 70 AD to early Christians, but we, the people of God, even 2,000 years later who read this word, become the completion and the perfection of the people of Israel. That's why we often have been talking about it in this past year of us being the new people of God, the NPOG. We continue this story that has happened thousands of years ago. And I hope that's mind-blowing that you look around this room. Look at those behind you. Take a little peek to that person to your left and that person to your right. This is as good as it gets, everybody. We are the new people of God. By the power of the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, we are empowered to live this God life that is the continuation of these lives. These Hall of Faithers didn't get to see the fullness of the completion of the God life in us through Jesus, but we get to see it, experience, and actually live it out as the people of God, and then continue God's restoring work of making all things new. Look at that person again on your left and your right and say, you're as good as it gets. Thanks be to God. I hope you can add to that. The promises, the hope, the fulfillment of the God story is filled through us. We're in this long line of seekers and hopers, those who would live and die in the name of God, who is seeking to make all things new. And so then the writer of Hebrews writes, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. The writer of Hebrews is urging these young Christians to remember that the surrounding cloud of witnesses out surrounds all the sins and distractions that weigh them down. And probably what was happening to these early Christians in 70 AD is that they were becoming encumbered by rules and regulations. Eugene Peterson calls it Jesus and Christianity. These Hebrew Christians had been distracted by all the extra rules and regulations of this early life of being the church, of being Christians. They tacked on these rules and they were dragging them down. And so the writer of Hebrews was urging them to look to the cloud, to look to the hall of faith as a way to uncrowd their uncluttered or their cluttered and diluted religious lives. And then Hebrews 12:2, you've probably seen this on posters, or maybe this has been a favorite memory verse. It's the pinnacle of the letter, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus, the pioneer, perfecter, the one who leads, the one who sustains, the one who finishes, the one who is Alpha and Omega. Maybe it's an echo of Philippians 1:6, where Paul writes, he, Jesus, who began a good work in you, will be faithful to complete it. This is the biblical cloud that surrounds us, sustains us even today. If even in our imaginations, we could imagine this cloud of witnesses that is with us, that worships with us today in this place. And I need to remind us that the biblical cloud of witnesses are not perfect people. That's why you can look to your left and right and say, this is as good as it gets, because you join this long line of misfits and losers. We read great things about the Hall of Faith people in Hebrews 11, but Moses was a murderer. Jacob was a schemer. Rebecca joined him in deceitful behavior. So if you read back to the God story and read more about these heroes, this is the kind of stuff you read about. Solomon, a womanizer. David, conniver and a murderer. After he got Bathsheba pregnant, he made plans for, what was Bathsheba's? Uriah, to be set up to get killed in battle. Rahab, prostitute, Sarah, doubter, double-minded. These are the people in the Hall of Faith. Look to that person to your left and right and say, hey, maybe you're not even as bad as they were. Maybe we can do this. Maybe we can continue this God work, miracle God story, you and I together as the new people of God. So, that's the biblical cloud. Holding Yancey's book in our other hand, let's talk about the personal cloud for a few minutes. Yancey names 13 people who he says saved his soul. Now, he would say that Jesus truly saved his soul. If you want to read another great Yancey book, read The Jesus I Never Knew. But he names these 13 people as people who saved his soul. Again, he writes, they empowered his faith to stay fresh and alive. And I think about that in our own lives. Perhaps you've never had a personal time of crisis or questioning, but I'm pretty sure that you have friends or relatives or former church-going acquaintances who have lost their religion. I'm always fascinated to reflect back to my university years when I was a part of InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, and we had this huge Christian club at the University of Lethbridge. We had the Christian rock stars, the athletes in action superstar basketball player. We had the students' union president who was a Christian. Why wouldn't everyone else become a Christian then too? But now, 25 years later, I look back at those superstars, and they're not even self-describing as Christians anymore. And I'm like, oh, what's up with that? How come the rock stars get to move along and I'm still here believing in Jesus? So maybe you've had those experiences. And if so, what makes you stick with the Christian faith? If the rock stars can leave their faith and move on, why can't you and I? And I would venture to say that part of our answer is probably found in our personal cloud of witnesses. Those people who, as Yancey puts it, are people whose lives are enhanced by their faith. They have abundant life. Yancey says, I have spent time with such people, and I've wanted to tap into that source of life for myself and then broadcast it to the rest of the world. So I want us to reflect on this. Who fills your personal cloud? And in your insert today, you have this pink insert. You have two copies of the same thing, because on one copy, I want you to maybe fill it out and take it home and keep on working on it. And maybe on the other copy, if you have some names that you want to share, I want to compile a list of people who might be in your cloud and share that with others in this upcoming news and notes. But who fills your personal cloud of witnesses? When other Christians or post-Christians are saying, why bother, they've moved on, what allows you or empowers you to remain faithful and hopeful as you follow Jesus? Just for the last few minutes, we'll move a little closer to one another. I'll share Yancey's list. Since he was a publicist and a writer, he got to meet lots of famous people, and so his list is pretty cool. Martin Luther King Jr., and not that he met all these people, But Martin Luther King Jr., G.K. Chesterton, Dr. Paul Brand, Dr. Robert Coles, Leo Tolstoy, Fyodor Dostoevsky, Mahatma Gandhi, Dr. Everett Koop, John Donne, Annie Dillard, Frederick Buechner, Shusaku Endo, and Henry Nouwen. So those were his 13. I was thinking maybe on your list you might split it up like 6 and 7 or something, and maybe put 7 people who are kind of those writers, mentors, or, you know, really famous people that still influence you by their writing or their lives. And maybe you'd choose 6 or 7 who are people that you know and touch, or have known and have touched and have sat with or prayed with or listened to or been mentored by. So just for a couple of minutes, maybe there's 1 or 2 names that just pop to the forefront for you. When I was thinking about some of the names for me, and you probably know these names because when I'm preaching, I often use them, but I'll talk about Henry Nouwen, I'll talk about Walter Brueggemann, Frederick Buechner, Barbara Brown Taylor, Ryan McLaren, Eugene Peterson, even quoted him already today. So let's name some of those famous names. I'll let you keep your more personal names personal and to yourself, but let's share a few because maybe they might inspire others to read them or follow them up or do a Google search on the internet. Who are some of the names in your personal cloud? Those names that sustain your faith in these days. When others around you are getting off the Jesus train, why do these people continue to stay faithful to this God-following life?